Welcome to Manager Tools and Career Tools. Today's guidance, handling exit interviews. As you'll hear, folks, we don't recommend you be truly honest, unfortunately, because there can be career repercussions. You have almost nothing to gain by throwing your boss under the bus. That rule applies even after you no longer work for the firm. So here's our guidance on handling exit interviews. Enjoy.
You've heard stories of the changes many American businesses are making to overcome and adapt during this time. It's wonderful to hear all of the stories of human fortitude, and we're adapting too. We can't make hand sanitizer, but we're now offering team training virtually over Zoom. 5 sessions for up to 30 people, one-on-ones, feedback, rolling out the Trinity, coaching, and delegation. The training itself even includes roadmap and a personal license for every attendee. And you can schedule the sessions over multiple weeks to allow them to fit into your operational tempo. Contact us by emailing Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com. We'd love to help.
So today we're going to talk about the time-honored tradition of exit interviews, which frankly I've managed to avoid for my entire career. People might be surprised by that whole your response of well done, and we're going to talk about exactly that. I guess as a way of introducing this cast, I could just tell people that exit interviews are a dangerous practice, and we have some recommendations about them.
Yep. Yeah, I think, look, it makes sense. It's completely logical, sensible idea to say, let's ask everybody why they're leaving, and that will help us gather data about what we're doing that causes them to leave to begin with, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. And for the people who are asking about them conceptually,
yeah,
they believe they're doing a good thing. They think they're going to collect some useful information that will help them improve the organization.
Right.
And unfortunately, that whole human thing kind of gets in the way.
Yeah. So we have 5 recommendations. The first one is very easy. Avoid exit interviews when you can. Number 2 is say nothing derogatory ever, no matter what. Number 3 is if you do get in one, you don't have to say nice things. In other words, we're not suggesting that you lie. Number 4, we're going to give you some sample questions that tend to come up in exit interviews and show you some good and bad responses so that people can, we'll give some suggested responses that are neutral and professional. And we're starting with those 4 things, giving specific recommendations regarding action. Point 5 is some important background. If you just want to know what to do, we'll cover that in the first part of the cast. But we do want to give some important background about why we recommend this course of action. It doesn't ever do any good. And just to describe some of the risks associated with exit interviews, and it really boils down to this: there's little value, it's of questionable importance, and there's known and specific and perhaps enormous personal risk. And that means if there's low reward and high risk, that's generally unavoidable. That's generally, we recommend avoidance. So
good. Okay. Now, we're going to do this cast a little bit different than we've done most, and we think that it is terribly important as to the whys of what we recommend. It informs a whole bunch of conditions other than those that we're going to cover in the cast.
Exactly.
But today we're going to do something different. We're not going to do that right up front. We're going to do that at the end.
Yeah. I really feel that the why is important. I think there are people who want to know the underpinnings so that when they get a curveball, if you know the underpinnings, you know how to hit the curveball. And we also know there are people who just want to know, what do I do? They'll probably be less ready for the curveballs, but they'll be ready for the vast majority of situations. And these are simple, actionable recommendations, so it's easy for us to front load them.
Good.
And that gets us right to the first one, right?
Good. So point number 1, avoid exit interviews when you can.
Yeah.
When you can.
Yeah. I mean, look, it could happen that you can't avoid it, and we'll talk about that. But the simplest thing to say is this, and partly this comment comes from the fact that, I don't know, every 3 to 6 months I get a question about, you know, I'm leaving. What should I do about my exit interview? And I send a note back on the forums or an email or something. I say, well, okay, who's doing the exit interview? And, you know, can you tell me a little bit more about the detail? What have they told you? He says, oh, no one's contacted me. I don't know anything about them. I don't even know if my firm does them. I just want to know how to get ready for it. And so our first guidance is, if you are not approached about having an exit interview, don't volunteer for one. If your company doesn't do them, there's no need for you to try to make one happen. And part of the reason for that is if you push for an exit interview when the company doesn't do them, they're going to assume that you're going to cut somebody open. They're going to assume that you're wanting to drop a bomb. You'll probably end up with the wrong person on the other side of the exit interview table, depending upon the size of the company, of course. It may be there's only one person who can do it. But it's very dangerous to go and request one. It sends a message that you may not want to send. Now, look, some people are surprised by our recommendation to avoid them, you know, and people say, well, gosh, Mark, why would anybody go looking for one, right? Why? You know, they're messy. I know that. If you're an experienced manager, you're probably saying, that's crazy. But look, folks, we get these questions. Many newer professionals joining the workforce have been led to believe that exit interviews are the norm. They're a standard. Why wouldn't they want to find out why I'm leaving? You know, don't they want to keep people? Isn't this a happy place? Don't we want to know when somebody's not doing things right? You know, we've been telling people and advertising people that, quote, you're our most important resource, and we really want to make sure that you're happy here. You know, if you're not, please tell us. And look, if you put that thought together with the knowledge that exit interviews exist, it's not a stretch for someone to assume naturally that they're going to have one, whether their firm conducts them regularly or not. And I've actually had a conversation where it was funny, but someone actually said to me, hey, it must be a bad sign that they aren't offering me an exit interview. I know they care about their employees. I know exit interviews exist, whether they exist at my company or not, I don't know. But shouldn't I ask for one? I mean, isn't that a sign of professionalism on my part? And
yeah, and the answer to that is absolutely no. Don't ask for an exit interview. Look, even if you're not offered one, you know, you just got to make a couple assumptions. One is your company just doesn't do them every time. And it could be just for certain positions, or they could do exit interviews for only certain departments that are staffed by certain HR people. Because sometimes HR generalists who have responsibility for a piece of the organization have different policies, or they enforce policies differently.
Right.
And it could be done only for divisions that have high turnover rates, right? They're trying to figure out why there's something going on, or they have some suspicions about a particular manager. So there's a number of reasons why they may not do them. So don't assume something bad for you.
Right. And therefore, don't volunteer. Don't go looking for one. Now, look, if you're asked to do an interview in a way that you think or that you think we think might allow you to decline, then you should. We recommend you decline.
Okay. Now, that's particularly for newer managers or folks that are new to the corporate environment. That sounds like that might be a little hard. I mean, somebody asked me, how do I decline that gracefully?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you want to just do some samples? We can do samples here too. I mean,
sure. Okay, right. So let me play the HR person here, and you tell me how you're going to react. Okay, hey, we'd like to ask you to take an exit interview if you're interested.
Yeah, I'd like a Ferrari, but I don't have one. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I like joking with HR people. No, here's what I'd say. Thanks, but I'd really have very little to say, and I'm really busy right now making sure the transition goes smoothly for my boss and for the person who's taken over my role. So I'm not interested. Thanks anyway. And now look here, we're implying that an exit interview, this answer says my exit interview would take away from the more valuable, nobody would doubt that, rarely done well, nobody would doubt that, and necessary, nobody would doubt that, task of training and transitioning a new person into your role. That's the polite, professional, elegant sidestep associated with that example.
Okay. Well, in that example, I asked you if you're interested. So let me.
Yeah.
So, okay, you're not interested. So I'm not going to ask you that way. I'll say, hey, Mark, we'd like you to take an exit interview.
I say, hey, thanks, but I really would have very little to say. And I'm exceptionally busy right now making sure the transition goes smoothly. I mean, what we've got here is it's very similar. Your question is very similar to the first ask, right? They didn't ask if I was interested, right? They implied, you implied that your interest is not part of the equation, but hopefully you can see, you can still say no. And look, we totally know that some of you were saying, well, okay, that one was easy. They asked if I was interested. What if they didn't ask? So that's why we put this one in there. Also, we don't say we'd only have nice things to say, because then we're stuck with the answer of, oh, that's okay. We want to hear the good stuff too. So you don't assume that they're looking for negatives and say, I'd only have good things to say. What you say here is, I wouldn't have much to say.
Good. Okay. I asked you as if I were the HR generalist coming up to your cube or to your office. And that's frankly probably unlikely to happen. What's more likely to happen is you're going to get an email query. Would you please contact HR regarding scheduling an exit interview?
Okay.
What do you say then? What's your response?
How can we do 30 seconds of dead air without actually having 30 seconds of dead air? No, I'm not going to reply.
Really?
Right, sure. I mean, everybody complains about how much email they get, right? And the way my email is handled, HR doesn't go into my special hot folder. Look, you know, I really am busy, right? People who are listening to this cast are busy. If you aren't busy, don't claim that you are. But if it's important enough for an exit interview to be on my calendar, why would someone use the lowest common denominator form of communication, email, to request our time? We get other requests and we decline them. We get other requests that we ignore in the interest of being strategically politically correct or avoiding a conflict or what have you. So you just don't reply.
Okay. We'd like you to take an online survey about your experiences here. Certainly you could respond to that.
Yeah, again, we do the dead air thing, or I might think to myself, hey, great, I'd like a Ferrari, but I don't have one. No, no reply. I mean, email query, no reply. And look, if it's important on either one of these, we're going to get a second note, a second email. If it's a requirement, right, if HR has an obligation to check off a box, they'll track us down.
Okay, so does that apply to bosses as well? So what if the boss gets involved and the boss comes up and says, hey, Mark, look, HR says you got to do this exit interview thing. Now, are you suggesting now that we're going to blow our boss off? I mean, we're still employed by the company.
No. What I'm suggesting is, well, then now you got to go do the exit interview thing.
Okay. All right. So
look, if it's your boss, sure. Yeah. Oh, totally. And look, something else too. Let's say you're uncomfortable just not answering, although I must say there are a lot of people not answering email in the world. It's also not inappropriate to delay your exit interview. If they start by sending you an email, they're sending you a message about, at that point in time, how important getting on your calendar is. And it's not critical. It's not. And so therefore, you can essentially delay by not answering. And if you delay, HR may very well forget you. Now, look, we're not talking about repeatedly canceling a meeting that you've agreed to. Don't do that. Don't be disrespectful about it. But if they give you a window, scheduling at the last possible time isn't wrong, particularly if the pace, the operational tempo, the op tempo in your office is such that it would be okay to schedule the last possible minute and then say, I'm sorry, I've got a big meeting with my boss. I'm going to have to reschedule. It's possible something could come up between now and then. So hopefully in terms of requests, that gives some specific enough guidance for situations we've dealt with before. But there's something else too. It says the latter half of our first recommendation is avoid exit interviews when you can. We're not suggesting here, let's be clear about something. We're not suggesting here you go to great lengths to avoid exit interviews when it's clear you're expected to do so, as you mentioned, right? That the boss says you got to do it. Or when you've been asked to sit for one and you don't see a professional way to avoid it. Yes, when you can, avoid them. But if you're told you must, or if there are consequences with not doing so, then please comply quickly.
Yeah. It's not unheard of HR to withhold your last paycheck pending an exit interview. I mean, they have a checklist they got to go through until they get that done. They're not going to write your last check. And so in that case, you know, the exit interview may fall into the same category as, you know, keys and badges and home laptop turn in and all that kind of stuff. And
exactly.
There are consequences.
Yeah.
So Watch out for that.
Yeah. And as we mentioned before, if your boss comes to you and says, hey, it's standard, you got to go do the exit interview thing, then you do it, period.
Right. But again, if you can, avoid it. And hey, if you feel you're squirming too much, then chances are that you probably are, and it's just time to go get it scheduled and get it over with.
Yeah.
So let's say that that's the category this falls into. You got to do it. Your boss told you, or you just come to the understanding that, like, you just got to do the exit interview.
Right.
What then?
Yeah. Well, our first rule is, no matter what, say nothing derogatory ever. And we want to be as crystal clear as we can be. We don't care how right what you're saying is, how truthful what you're saying is, how correct what you're saying is, how helpful you believe what you're saying is, how necessary it is, how untethered to your net, to your income you are. Don't say anything in any way that at any time would ever be construed in any way as negative. And look, we come by this the hard way. We have seen it happen that completely true, professionally necessary feedback from an exit interview not only came back to specifically haunt the interviewee, but then to add insult to injury, was the information was not used in any way to halt the gross lack of managerial misconduct, let's call it that, that was reported. You cannot minimize the risk to you, and you cannot be certain that you will actually have an impact on the system. And we'll talk more later about why that's so.
And there's reasons we'll talk about a little bit later about why we just recommend you avoid it. But one of them is, like, a lot of folks go into these exit interviews and they absolutely intend to keep their mouth shut. And
yeah,
they're not saying anything negative. But they, you know, we got some pretty good HR folks out there, and they open you up. They're friendly. You start having a conversation. You start to feel comfortable. And then you open up, and then you share that thing that later on is going to come back and haunt you.
Yeah, the phrase like, oh, well, we know that Joe, your boss, Joe, we know that Joe is a bit of a challenge, and so we're hoping you could shed some light on that. Well, and the young person says, well, they already know.
Yeah, so let me really share.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. So we recommend don't jump on the bandwagon. And I guess we've got sample questions where we can give some ways of avoiding that, right?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Also, another thing that's sort of thematically related to that, don't agree with any statements that change the tone of your answer or leave some room for a different inference. Be careful, be quite willing to challenge any restatements or paraphrasing the interviewer does which have anything less than a positive tone. Look, folks, it doesn't matter what you say in the interview. It matters how the interviewer characterizes it or captures your comments. All the promised anonymity in the world won't protect you if something is cleverly inferred and your boss knows you were just talked to and the HR people go to talk to your boss.
Yeah, good point.
It's been a number of years. It's probably been 15 years ago, but I know of one exit interview that led to a boss who got information that felt the person was running them down and called the hiring company, and the offer was revoked and the person still had to resign.
I just had, not too far ago, I had a conversation with one of our listeners and we talked for a couple hours. And he shared with me some experiences where he did what amounted to essentially an exit interview, and it's haunting him to this day. And that was 20 years ago, folks.
Wow.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So our next point, you don't have to say nice things.
Yeah. Let me just go back and say one more thing. It doesn't matter what question you're asked. It doesn't matter what situation you're put in. If you keep in your head, I'm not going to say anything derogatory. Earlier when we said, hey, look, if you feel like you're squirming to get out of the exit interview, then stop squirming and go ahead and do the exit interview. Now we're saying in step two about nothing derogatory, no matter what. Now you should be willing to squirm. A professional who, you know, when an HR person, think of me and Mike as my boss, and then an HR person is interviewing me. If I haven't given Mike specific information, if I haven't been fair and upfront with him about the problems that he's been dealing with, or that he's created for me, if I haven't told Mike what my concerns are about him, and then I go and basically rat him out to HR, I know that HR means well, or, you know, Mike's boss means well, and so on. But if I haven't had the courage to talk to Mike directly. Don't think that a third party is suddenly going to absolve you of responsibility from sharing these things. Twist yourself into knots if you have to, but don't be negative. There's very little reward and lots of risk. Okay, sorry.
Thanks. So our next point was that you don't have to say nice things. Don't lie about it, right?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, don't lie. If your boss is a jerk, neither talk about what she did that makes her a jerk, nor make something up designed to get you off the hot seat. You know, don't make stuff up. Don't say anything that you feel would make you uncomfortable. But now, to be fair, if you feel comfortable skewering your boss, that's fine. Just don't tell us that we didn't tell you there were consequences.
Yeah.
Let's do some samples, right? I mean, let's do some avoidance techniques.
Okay. So let's assume you have a loud and angry boss, and I'm the HR generalist doing the exit interview with you. So.
Right. So this guy's a jerk. He criticizes everybody. He talks badly about company leadership.
Yeah, takes credit for your work, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Good. Okay. So, Mark, tell me, what could your supervisor do better, you think?
You probably already know he's an abusive boss. Everybody hates him. He treats us like hell and speaks disparagingly about senior people. Can we make this cast come out on April Fool's?
Yeah, yeah. That folks, just to be clear, folks, that's suicide right there.
Yeah, that's the bad reply. Sorry, we want to give you some bad replies and some effective replies. And then there's another one, though. We have another bad reply, which is, he was a good boss, and I wish him well.
Yeah, that's lying, obviously.
Yeah, he wasn't a good boss. I'm lying. And they know it, and it's disappointing for them.
So how about an effective reply? What would you really say?
Sure, I would say, I wouldn't feel comfortable commenting. He has many responsibilities I don't see, so I'm not a good judge of my boss. I've never done the job myself.
Oh, okay, I get that, but surely you have some opinion on how it was to work for him, right?
Well, okay, look, I hadn't planned on saying so, but since you pushed me.
There we go.
No kidding. That's a bad reply. One example of an effective reply was, well, of course I know what it's like to work for him, but even if I did have comments like those, and I don't, I would only share them with him directly. Hmm. Or another one. Frankly, I'm more of a head down, work focused kind of person and generally get along with all types of bosses. So my opinion is he was my boss and I did my best for him.
Yeah, I noticed that you said you generally get along with your bosses.
Yeah, we're not recommending you make up untrue things to get out of the interview. We are saying, if you can't say something truthful that is nice, reply indirectly in a neutral fashion or by suggesting you don't feel like making any specific comments at all.
Good. Okay, so we just covered a couple examples, but we have some more sample questions and some suggested responses to make this easier for folks. Because this is, well, there's a little art of the conversation going on here.
Oh, and I absolutely feel like when I was 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. I mean, I might have been the one that would have spoken up and said, gee, they're asking, so why wouldn't I do the right thing?
Yeah, it's hard for me to believe, having known you at that age, that you would ever possibly do that. But
what's that line? Good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment.
Yeah, so no wonder you're so smart. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we're gonna go through some sample questions and some answers. And now we're not suggesting that these answers are the only ones. And you shouldn't use them if they're not true for you. So be truthful, but please don't be truthful at the expense of losing relationship or creating bad blood between you and your organization or your soon-to-be former boss.
Yeah. And I think the way we've prepared these is we've only addressed questions that suggest the possibility of a clear negative inference with them. Look, you're going to be asked as well, what did you like about here at the firm, or what did you like about your boss? And those answers are pretty simple. State something, no matter how small, that is truthful, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But we know the questions that are risky are the ones that have negatives associated with it.
Good. Okay, so here are some of those. Hey, Mark, what's your primary reason for leaving?
Really, it's pretty simple. It's a case of finding a better opportunity for me right now. And I, you know, to me, I really think of it not so much as leaving, but is just joining a different firm.
Yeah, that's good. A lot of folks get into the defending the leaving part of it.
Yes.
Which is negative. As soon as you get into defense of it, it's negative.
Right.
So I like the fact that you focused on where you're going and that you believe it's better for you now, right? Which implies that, you know, under different circumstances, you may have chosen to stay, right?
Yeah.
So it's really a choice between two positives, not the lesser of two evils, which is
much more and positive. That's the problem. The HR person or the executive that's interviewing you is seeing you as a loss. They're seeing it through the lens of a negativity. When you remind them about you're going somewhere else, it's not going from, you know, the seventh level to the sixth level of hell. It's going from B to A, and there's nothing wrong with B.
Good. Okay. Mark, how do you feel in general about the company? Share that with me, if you would.
I have nothing but complimentary things to say about this firm.
What if there are things you disagree with, though? You're still going to say that?
Yeah, because the answer says I only have nice things to say.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the fact that I feel negative, I mean, the person interviewing me has negative things they think about the company. I'm just not going to say them, nor they, if they're smart, obviously.
Good. Okay. So let me continue playing the game. I'm going to try to draw some more out of you. So,
okay. Hey,
Mark, what was the least satisfying thing about your job?
Oh, definitely. There were times when I would have liked to have produced better results. I'm hard on myself and I could have done better.
Ah, yeah. I noticed you didn't say anything bad about the company, its policies, standards, coworkers, your boss.
Nope.
And you focused on you.
Yeah. Yeah. I can talk about me being negative, me not being good. I'm not going to rip myself apart, but yeah. If there's a chance for me to say something negative about me that avoids the risk, which is talking about others or the company, then I will.
So focus on you. Good. Okay. Well, so I'm not going to let you off that easy this time.
Right.
Hey, tell me, Mark, what could your boss do to improve? We're always looking to improve here. What could he do to improve?
Yeah, I really wouldn't presume to suggest. She has a full plate, and really my leaving is about me finding something better for me. It's in no way a comment on her. And by the way, the reason it's no way a comment on her, because I'm not going to comment on her. and even if she was a jerk, we're not leaving until we had something better. So it's not a comment on her.
Good. Okay.
If it really was a comment on her, you'd leave without anything.
Okay. So, okay. Now I'm going to paint you into a corner. You've painted yourself into a corner. I'm just going to exploit it right now.
Sure.
So Mark, would you consider coming back to work here in the future?
For the right opportunity, I would look at any firm. Right. Look, it's a silly hypothetical.
Sure.
It's designed to catch somebody naive enough to say no, which is a terrible indictment. Yeah, it's funny. When I was fired, I was treated poorly and my former bosses lied repeatedly. But I'd go back to that firm if I owned it outright and I was the CEO.
Okay. I guess that'd be good circumstances.
Yeah.
Right opportunity.
It'd be fun.
Yeah, okay. So now I'm going to shift my focus a little bit. What does your new firm offer that we don't?
Oh, good question. But, you know, as I sit here and think about it, it's really too complex a choice to boil down to an apples-to-apples comparison. It simply felt right based on my present situation today.
Okay. So what made it feel right, though?
Yeah. Like I said, you know, it's one of those, it's really too complex to boil down to specifics. And as I said, I have nothing but complimentary things to say about this firm.
Were you happy with the pay, benefits, and compensation here?
Absolutely fair and reasonable. And by the way, notice that last answer. I didn't say whether I was happy with it or not. I simply said it was absolutely fair and reasonable because the definition of whatever is fair and reasonable for a company is what the company says. So don't disparage pay. And one of the ways you would do that is by saying you're getting a raise going somewhere else. That is a form of pay disclosure that is frankly unprofessional. It might make you feel good. It might make you think I get to put my thumb in their eye without saying anything negative really about this company, but it is not effective and it doesn't look good.
I agree. Okay, so I think that's good for now. We've given a number of examples. We've talked about what our recommendations are. We've given a couple of examples of that could be perceived as tough questions and how you answered it. So I think that is useful. So now, let's talk a little bit about the background of our recommendations and why we recommend what we do. Because, you know, I don't know about you, this is different. We usually talk about this in the beginning.
Right.
And I felt a little bit like, man, we're telling people not to do exit interviews and they really don't understand why it is we're saying don't do exit interviews.
Right. Yeah, as we said in the beginning, if you feel like you can handle the curveballs, we may have a little bit of recommendations scattered in here, but really for the most part, we just want to share background. So if you think you can handle the curveballs, you can stop listening. But there's another reason that this is important, and it's for managers. If you're a manager now, or you have plans on becoming one, it's not just you. You're not only likely to face an exit interview, you're likely to have to answer questions about what to do during one of them from one of your directs or from somebody you're mentoring. Okay? Yeah, giving them a list of answers, if you're a premium subscriber and you have the answers printed out or whatever, that seems pretty thin to us. We think if somebody comes to you and says, what do I do in your network or whatever? We don't think it's enough to simply give specific directions, say X, say Y, say Z. We think your folks, those people you know, are better off knowing why. So that, again, if something comes up that's a little bit different, it's a little unusual, they'll be able to handle it because they can make decisions on their own about the situation they're in.
Yeah. And one of the reasons has got to be, one of the first ones has got to be, it doesn't ever do any good.
Yeah. Now, we're old crotchety guys, I guess, but you really have to be, you really have to believe that it's, that in good things, in theory, and avoid the long history that you and I have of not ever having seen it make a difference in order to want to do an exit interview and be candid. The single biggest reason to avoid being candid with negative comments is not because of the risk. There is no reason to expose yourself to risk, right? And there is risk. We are saying that. But it's not the risk that worries us as much as the fact that there is no evidence that anything ever gets changed from an exit interview. We've not only never seen a change for the better come out of a negative exit interview, we've also seen many cases, as we mentioned before, of retaliation visited on somebody for doing the right thing. If there's no value, but there's risk, the right course of action is to step away, to back up, to move away from the situation. Look, your boss is going to have reasons for whatever he did if you're going to be talking negatively about your boss. And he has power over you until you leave. He will defend himself to HR, share things with them you don't know that will cause his actions to appear reasonable. Your attacks will appear small and probably personal. And essentially what that will mean is any information that was directed back to him or her will be blunted enormously. By the same token, you're talking about the company. The company has its reasons for the policies you don't like. You're not smarter than the entire company. They just disagree with you about how they should run a company. And they have the power and perhaps more importantly, years of experience to justify whatever policy you think is silly. And there are some silly policies and you may think it's silly, but they probably came out of what someone thought was a good idea.
Yeah, I think we've talked about something. I can't remember what cast it was, but we talked a little bit about this. Like in these conversations, if it's HR talking to your boss has all sorts of information about deliverables you missed, times you were late, poor quality in some of your work. He or she can reach back into this huge bag of poor past performance to justify anything that you may have issues with. And you can't win. Unfortunately, you're not in the conversation. You don't have a seat at the table.
Yeah,
you can't win that argument because you're not there.
Yeah, exactly. And in my case, I actually have a firsthand story. People seem to like, I don't think it's Schadenfreude, but people seem to like hearing about my mistakes. So it wasn't an exit interview, but I definitely thought it felt like one in terms of what happened. I was asked by a former boss to give feedback to my two managers. You know, I was told the firm was growing. They felt there were probably places where they could do better as managers. They even said, we know we're not normally ones to ask this kind of stuff. It'd be easy for you to say no, but we really do want to improve here. I thought about it and I thought, okay, you know, they seem to be genuine, even though I disagree with them on a lot of stuff.
Hey, dude, this is where you should have called me, but go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I should have. You're right. I thought about it and I thought, okay, there is one thing that bothers me and they want to know. And if they're hiring, in fact, the way they said it was, if we're going to hire somebody else, we'd like to know so we don't visit the same mistakes on the new person who's going to have a significant role like you do. And so I shared my concern, meant with the best of intentions about the yelling and screaming they did as part of their roles. The one boss that I shared it with was very polite. And the next day I was called upstairs up to my other boss's office. and just absolutely ripped from head to toe. It was so bad, so vulgar, such a disgusting dressing down that I find myself 15 minutes into it. It's still going on 15 minutes after it starts, that I was actually had standing in his office while he's sitting at his desk, standing up, pacing around, screaming, throwing up his hands, that I found myself standing at the position of attention, just like I had as a plebe at West Point, in order to essentially turn my face to stone and not actually do what would have been completely appropriate, would have been to knock the guy on his butt for what he was saying. It was as if I was being hazed by an upperclassman and somebody was luxuriating in their abuse of power because they had power. It was actually the moment that I realized I was standing in the position of attention, it was kind of eerie and a little bit cool. Actually, I was basically assuming the position because somebody was treating me with gross disrespect.
You were well-trained.
And I was well-trained, yeah. You know, I can't say that that was why I was fired years later, but I can say this. My managers did not change one bit. And it's funny enough, the guy we were going to hire chose not to come to work for us because of the very issue I brought up. So that wasn't an exit interview, but the rule applies. I got a lot of risk delivered to me and no value.
And folks, for you longtime listeners, you'll immediately figure out that this fits into that rule of never giving feedback to your boss.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's my experiences and thousands of other clients' experiences that say, you know, gee, when we do that, we get no reward and we accept all this risk. What are we doing? Let's get out of that. It's bad investment. Don't do it. And look, something else worth noting about exit interviews not doing any good. And this is something I have to share. I should have shared this earlier. Wendy Lord, our career tools expert and resume expert, and I collaborated on this cast and we shared ideas together. And the first thing she says is, look, it doesn't do any good. And we both laughed because that was first on my list as well. And then she said, look, firms aggregate data, right? They put a number of exit interviews together. Sometimes they say they're doing it for anonymity, but they're also doing it because they don't want one person to be the reason they drive a whole bunch of process or system change in the organization. That doesn't make much sense. But they basically, they guarantee us anonymity and aggregate data to see whether or not there really is a problem, a statistically significant sample of a problem. And what happens is they aggregate everything, but what do you have? And what you end up with is a gigantic central tendency. So if you were the one brave soul who decided to be truly frank about your jerk boss's proclivity for unprofessional behavior, that risky input got watered down to the point where it's much easier for the room to say, one guy sure didn't like his boss in here, huh? But maybe it's anonymous in the big picture in the survey they give back once a quarter, and they're not going to know who it was about, and so nothing's going to change with your
right,
boss.
And they probably just chuckle about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's an additional point here. I mean, besides the fact that we don't recommend you do it because nothing's going to change, so why take risk if nothing's going to change? The other piece is there's more risk, right? Because we never know who they're going to tell.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a world. It's a small world.
Yeah, this is an immediate one, right? If your boss finds out you ratted her out, she doesn't have to refute your claim. She probably could, and she probably will to somebody who asks her about it. But if she was a boss who was willing to treat you as a second-class citizen, how hard will it be for her to make a few phone calls and tell everybody that, hey, you need to watch out for this guy because, you know, he's willing to throw you anyone under the bus. And I can't tell you not to hire him, but I can say, beware, my friend. And look, there are very few things worse to a starting effort and a new job than a whisper campaign based on half-truths from someone who outranked you, right? I mean, your boss outranked you. You probably won't lose your new job, but that's not the point. Your former manager does something far worse, something untraceable, something illusory, yet career-wise, totally more devastating. They ruin your reputation in silence and kill any chances for either a positive impression or what else they do. They sow doubts, which lead to a long-term paradigm shift about you. Look, we wish it weren't so, but most managers' private doubts about their own interviewing skills. Maybe I missed it when I was interviewing this guy and his old boss can tell me he's a problem. And it makes this kind of retribution from your boss who hears from her friend in HR, I know I shouldn't tell you this. And I have to say, Horseman's Law about there are no secrets. It's amazing to me who will tell whom about what. It is amazing. There are no secrets. If one other person knows, it's going to be shared. It is going to be shared. It's going to get back to your boss. And if your boss is willing to be somebody who makes your life miserable, they will make your life miserable in the future as well.
Yeah, it's not just your boss, too. I mean, for example, we know the vast majority of HR professionals are out there are professional and treat information with confidentiality. So this is not to suggest in any way, shape, or form that this is a broad problem against HR. But I have seen it where, you know, you get the HR aunt out there who has a relative that is interviewing you, and he has information, the HR person has information that might be useful to his nephew.
Exactly.
And hey, family, blood thicker than water, maybe I'll share it.
Yeah, there you go. Look, if you're interviewing a company A and you're still employed at company B, imagine that the interviewer who is speaking to you likes you, perhaps, but maybe has a doubt or two that he or she wants to be cleared up. And the recruiter, the person who's talking to you, has an aunt, and she's the director at company B where you still work. I mean, seriously, do you doubt for a second that interviewer is going to call his aunt? No, you can't. And this is a real situation. And if there is an exit interview record, it's possible that's going to get looked at. They're going to take a peek. And if you said something that is not certain is true or not, but she's surprised that you don't know that no one rips their boss in an exit interview and you have, she might just let that slip.
Yeah.
And that's not good for you. And yes, it's unprofessional for her to do it. And in our experience, it happens all the time. I have to tell clients all the time when I'm with them, when somebody comes to me and says, hey, can I be off the record? My answer is no. I work for your boss's 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 boss. What would possibly make you think that I would want to go off the record with you? And then people say, well, gee, people won't be open with you. Well, okay. I'm willing to accept people not being open with me or take that risk in return for avoiding the possibility that somebody's going to be off the record and then tell me something that I'm professionally obligated to do something about. So people will do stuff that's unprofessional and it could hurt you, and we don't want that.
Yeah. And what goes around comes around, right? There's this thing about boomerangs.
Oh, nice. Yeah. We also have to remember about boomerangs. I mean, it's entirely possible that you could end up back at your firm. I mean, for those of you who don't know, boomerang is somebody who leaves a firm, and corporations today are getting better at outreach to alumni, to people who used to work there. They're arranging meetups and discussions and so on. Procter & Gamble doesn't allow boomerangs. You can only get hired at the bottom of the company, but the Procter & Gamble Alumni Association is very powerful, very well known, and they stay in touch. And HR departments, when they lose somebody or good, often some of them have a responsibility to stay in touch with somebody for a year or two to see whether or not the new job's working out and maybe to have them come back without a loss of pay or longevity and those kinds of things. So you've got to remember, it's possible the new place could be terrible and you burning your bridge, which is what you would be doing if you shared negatives, might not be worth it.
Absolutely.
And you could come back and you want there to be somebody smiling when you think about coming back. As bad as it was, it may be better than where you ended up, because everybody looks good when they're interviewing. But then, of course, there's a difference between being a candidate and being an employee.
Yeah. I tell you, in another point, this whole thing is you may change the way you feel. I mean, how you feel now is not necessarily how you're going to feel in the future. And I had a personal experience with this. So I had a manager, Louise Charles. She's probably not listening. But Louise, if you are listening, at the time, I thought she was awful. I don't hate people, but I came pretty close at some points in our relationship. And the fact is now, with some, you know, looking back almost 20 years ago,
right,
she was probably the best manager I ever had. She was solely responsible for changing the trajectory of my career. And did it feel good at the time? It absolutely did not. But she was awesome. And thank God I didn't say anything bad about her, because,
right,
man, I'd feel pretty bad right now.
I can tell you that when I was 30, I looked back and said, man, I thought I knew what was going on when I was 25, but I clearly did not, right? And then I said to myself, but I feel pretty good about what I know now. And then 5 years later at 35, I said, man, what a fool. You thought you knew what was going on at 30, but dude, you did not. you were clueless compared to what you know now. And then I said, but, and of course at 35, I said again, but now I do. And I repeated that same mistake at 40 and 45. And so you're going to look back, you're going to look back and you're going to say, man, in hindsight, there was a lot of things I didn't understand. Look, everything, virtually everything you know today, we know today about work is learned or known through the paradigm of your life today. That paradigm is going to change. What you wouldn't have tolerated 5 years ago, you might beg for today in many instances. Now, okay, look, we're not saying that all of a sudden 5 years from now, you're going to start justifying hateful speech from a boss. But many people who are being exit interviews share even small things that bothered them. The HR person seems genuine. They want to help. We're leaving. What can they do to us? And what they can do is discount our comments, share them with others, because we weren't smart enough to know that what we deem now as unacceptable may in 5 years seem inelegant, but necessary and perhaps even pragmatic. There's a lot of risk and there's very little reward.
Good. Well, I think that wraps up not only the cast, but specifically the why behind our recommendations.
Yeah.
And once you understand the why, the recommendations make a lot more sense. So I hope if you stuck around, congratulations.
And real quick, avoid them when you can. Say nothing derogatory ever, no matter what, even if you think you're talking to your best friend and even if they already know tons of stuff. You don't have to say nice things. We're not suggesting you lie. Don't do that. Simply be neutral. We gave some sample questions and back responses. And remember, it doesn't do good. We don't know who it's going to be shared with. You never know. There may be an aunt at the company that's going to share something. You may want to come back and you're going to grow and mature and your perspective on that boss is going to change. So be gracious, be nice if you have to, and avoid them at all costs.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, partner.
We'll see you. Thanks, everyone. Hope to see you again here next week. So long.
Okay, folks, that's it for exit interviews. Hopefully we've scared you enough that you won't say anything untoward. Come back tomorrow. We're going to talk about how to ask the people in your network for an opportunity. See you then.